Well, the main thoughts that I wanted to share with you this morning come from other scriptures, one in Proverbs, another one in Psalms, and one in 1 Corinthians. Those three verses have something in common. But if I were going to give a title to the message this morning, it would be the illusion of being in control, or the illusion of autonomy. And if you can think of that and think it through, I hope you'll understand what I'm talking about after the message more than you do right now. If not, I got a problem. You know what happens when you put an amateur in front of a group instead of a professional, right? You don't know what's going to come out. But remember, when you think of amateurs and professionals, that the Ark was built by amateurs and the Titanic was built by professionals, right? Okay, so let's look at the first verse. This one comes from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, the book of wisdom. 16, verse 1. And here's what it says. The preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now that's, in my mind, that is the perfect proverb which talks about political debates. You're going to hear a lot of that going on in the next 2 years leading up to the 2016 election. People prepare their way and think and they practice and they have people who stand in and debate with them so they can do their very best. And yet, while the preparation of the heart belongs to man, when it spits out the front, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Lets us know that God is in control, and even the very best communicator is not really in control. He is not autonomous any more than we are. In fact, I read a story not long ago about a guy who was pretty bashful. He had dated the same girl named Daisy for years, and he wanted to marry Daisy, but he just couldn't quite get up the nerve to do it, to ask. So he talked to his friend about it, and his friend said, well, you could do it over the phone, couldn't you? He said, well, yeah, I think I could do it over the phone. So that night he gave Daisy a call, Daniel, and he said, Daisy, I've got a nice car. I've got a lot of money in the bank. I've got a good job. Will you marry me? And she said, well, sure, I'll marry you. But who is this calling? Preparation of the heart belonged to man. But the response that he got, I don't know if that was exactly what he wanted to hear or not. But it's true. When we start to say something or do something, our thoughts and our actions, we might think that we have it together, but we're not really in control. In the final analysis, we can't control our circumstances, and we're certainly not autonomous in the way we behave or what we say. Let's take a look at another one. And again, I said these three have something in common. Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. What's the idea there? By the way, if you look at the stained glass window right behind me, up at the top, you'll see what appears to be an open Bible. And over on there, that would be that side. There's a big yellow U, right? Is it not there? Yeah, it is. That's a U, believe it or not. It's a yellow background and a white U. And that U stands for the first letter in this verse in the Psalms. So you might say that that is the theme verse of this church. Years ago, when that was made, that was picked out. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Every one of us could go somewhere and pick out a house that was beautiful in its day, but is no longer beautiful. The passage of time and gravity and insects and all kinds of things tear down a house, just like the passage of time and sin and people thinking that they are more important than the God that brought them there, tear down a home. A home and a house are obviously not the same thing, but those things are all true. The cities, the homes, the houses, the families, the individuals are subject to things that they didn't expect. We're subject to things that we don't expect. Now let's look at the third verse. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. This talks about you've been to different eye specialists, right? Optometrists, ophthalmologists, oculists, whatever they might call themselves. Every one of us at least should have been to and probably has been to an eye specialist. But 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 talks about the common eye problem of humanity. Here's what it says. It asks actually two questions. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So what's the eye problem? It's not EYE, it's the capital letter I, right? The I problem is that we put ourselves at the center of everything that's going on. We think the world revolves around us. We think that we're in control. We think that we're autonomous. Without supernatural intervention, we think that we can control ourselves and everybody around us, and if they don't get along with the way we want to do it, something's wrong with them. But actually, that's not true. We don't control ourselves. We can't control ourselves without supernatural intervention, and we certainly can't export failure when we should be exporting success to other people, either in our families or the ones that are in our businesses or even in the way we vote. So those three things have something in common. What do they got in common? Now, being in church, it's an easy guess. You know, the Sunday school kid who's asked any question at all. It's a safe thing. They can answer God. You know, what day of the week is it? God. But that's exactly what these three things have in common, is God, the Lord. Preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. What do you have that you did not receive? Where did it come from? It came from God. And by the way, the things that we have include things that we don't even think about. We very seldom think about some of the most important things, attributes, abilities, and even limitations that God has given us. Our intellect, our ability to breathe and stand upright and take nourishment, all the things that we have that we don't really think about. The thing that they have in common is they show that a proper understanding of the world and a proper understanding of our lives and our families has got to put God in the equation. In fact, he's really the equal sign. You've seen, you know what an equation is, A plus B equals C, and then you fill in different stuff for the different letters. He's the thing that joins it all together, that makes sense of the equation. He's the one who sets things in motion. He also arranges circumstances to suit his purposes, not our purposes. He's the one who provides the things that we take for granted, like intelligence, physical ability, and even the limitations that we all experience. If you don't think you have limitations, just try running the 100-yard dash in 3 seconds. Nobody's ever done it. No human has ever been able to do it. We're all limited to some extent. And he's the one who provides us with what we have, even including those things. So we're going to look at his control, his autonomy, since he's the only autonomous being in the universe. And we're going to contrast that with our efforts today to be in control. Okay? Well, let's get a little more specific. A good friend of ours who is now deceased and with the Lord is named Bob Amos. He was the founder of WNKJ Christian Radio. One time we were talking with Bob, and I can't even remember the subject of the discussion he had, but the subject somehow came up on church splits. I said, Bob, what's in your opinion? What's the cause of church splits? He said, I've never seen a church split, but what the argument was over who's going to be in control. Who's going to be in control? Is it going to be you or me or somebody else? We're going to follow this guy. We're going to follow that guy. We're going to go our own way. Trying to be in control. It's also good to remember, I think, that when we talk about control or autonomy, we're really talking about a three-sided object. We have people who have as their main object in life controlling you and me and as many people as they can. That's what political elections are all about. Who's going to be in control? I want my way. This guy wants his way. I have opinions. You have opinions. Doesn't make them either one right. Some people spend their whole time, just like Mr. Potter on that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, trying to put people and manipulate people and put them in the right peg and control what they're going to do. Nobody likes to be manipulated. And yet the second side of that three-sided object is us, our control of other people. Now, there's a place for that. It's good that a newborn infant has someone to provide and protect for what they need. I see Brandy walking around. When Catherine was really little, she couldn't do anything. Neither could any one of us when we were born. It's neat to have mothers, isn't it? This is Mother's Day. The third side, though, of that is a matter of self-control. Remember Paul Harvey, long time ago? Some of you may not even remember Paul Harvey, but he stated, among other things, that self-government without self-control does not work. It's interesting, isn't it, that part of the fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. So who's going to be in control? How do you maintain self-control? And I'll give you a clue, just in case I don't get to cover all the material before the time is up. You can't do it yourself. Not a one of us can control ourselves completely. In fact, check this out for yourself. If you know what's right to do, and you either don't have the energy or the courage to do it, or you go some other direction when you know something is wrong to do, and you go ahead and do it anyway, that's a lack of self-control. That's, by definition, that's what it is. Now, when you talk about control, either as a parent with their children or a government with their citizens or you with yourself or me with myself, we all tend to go to extremes. And there's two extremes on control or autonomy, if you will. One of them is those that the Proverbs would call sluggards. You ever have a sluggard in your outfit, John? Don't answer that. People who don't want to do it, they're not going to do it, they'll find a way out of it, they avoid their responsibilities, and they would turn their kids over to the tender mercies of a predator, and they don't care. That's the one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum, and what I really would like to discuss this morning, are the ones who are over-controlling, who just can't see anybody make a decision unless it agrees with what they want to do. They can't let go of the reins when their kids get grown. All of us have a tendency to go to one extreme or another. The truth is that we should avoid both extremes. And God's favor is on those who find the ground in the middle that says, I'm only temporary. The world is not all about me. And I need to reflect that in the way I treat other people. I need to come alongside to help, which is a whole lot different than showing up with a list of things to do. The bad news is that the desire for autonomy is a racial problem. Did you know that? The desire for autonomy is a racial problem. That's the bad news. The good news is that it is limited to the human race. That's why it's a racial problem. The human race. Dogs don't have it, and cats don't have it, and slugs don't have it. Humans, who are made in the image of God, have that tendency to go our own way, to take control, to do what we can't do, but to try to do it anyway because we don't want to follow God. The best news is that there is someone who can and does control our circumstances, and it's to him that we need to look for when something comes up, because every one of us has things happen in our lives that are completely beyond our control. Absolutely. Farmers learn that every year. We relearn it every year. You know, we work just as hard or sometimes harder in a year when there's no rainfall and the crops dry up as we do in a year when everything goes right. There are things outside of our control. In fact, the two worst things in the modern farmer's life are not even the insects and the disease and the drought or the floods. They're high interest rates and low commodity prices. You can mitigate the effects of those sometimes, but you can't eliminate them. You can't anymore tell the prices to do what you want than I can tell my sick body to get well over the flu. Even if you don't farm, the same thing's true. Things happen. Things happen to every one of us. Not only disease, automobile accidents come out of nowhere. Just in the last 24 hours in East Tennessee, my wife tells me there were 6 people killed in a car wreck. They didn't expect that. They didn't leave home thinking I'm going to have an accident today. That's why they're called accidents. They didn't know that was happening. Our lives, and I hope it's not a depressing thought to you, but our lives are not under our control. There's a supernatural element that we need to remember. Now, you may not believe that, but if you don't, give it a test. If you think you can control your thoughts and your body and your mind, just give this test. For the next 30 seconds, do not think about gym socks. I'm not talking about the clean kind, you know, the gym socks that basketball stars wear and come up here over your calf. I'm talking about the dirty, sweaty kind, the fine kind that's at the bottom of the laundry basket. Don't think about it. It's 20 seconds. Have you thought about it? What was it I'm not supposed to think about? Oh, yeah, gym socks. If you can't control your mind, I bet every one of you did, unless you're an unusual person. For the last 30 seconds, that was on your mind. If you can't control your mind on something simple like that, how do you expect to control yourself, or how do I expect to control myself over things that are more important than gym socks? What does that say about planning? If you can't control your lives, what do you do about planning? Plans have a good place. We should make plans. We do make plans. Just remember that God has the ability and the good sense to overrule your plans when it's in our best interest and to His glory. What does the Bible say? He causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. We cannot dictate our circumstances. That's the bad news. The good news is God can. He does. And He will cause all things to work together for good, even health issues, even financial issues, car accidents, unexpected deaths. Let me tell you a quick story. And it should indicate that these people did not have control of their lives. It's kind of a funny thing to me. A friend of mine named Roy hired a guy to come fix his roof. Now, that seems simple enough. He should have been able to fix his roof without any trouble. He said, come on by, Nate. I want you to go inside, look at the damage on the interior. That'll tell you where to fix the roof. You can go patch it up. And just come by sometime when it's convenient to you. So Nate came by on a Saturday morning and knocked on the door to get in. Roy wasn't home. Nobody answered the door. So he called Roy on his cell phone and said, Roy, I got to come in. I got to get in the house to look at your roof. And Roy was in a mission trip in Jamaica, as a matter of fact. It's a true story, by the way. Talking on the cell phone. He says, Nate, I can't come. I won't be back for 2 days. Just go on in. Well, the door's locked. He said, all right, listen, I'll tell you something I haven't told anybody else. If you go around to the back of the house, we leave a certain window open all the time for just such a time as this. Just climb in. It's no problem. Won't do any damage. I trust you. He said, I don't want to come inside your house with nobody home. He said, no, it's all right. Esther and I both agree. It's fine. Go on in. So Nate goes around and kind of tentatively opens the door, gets a ladder out, climbs up to the window, steps in, and steps on somebody in the bed. What would, number one, what would you think if you were Nate climbing in the window, stepping on somebody that wasn't supposed to be there? He moved. And what would you think if you were the person in the bed who's completely not expecting anything but a beauty nap and gets stepped on by a complete stranger? Well, nobody got shot. Nobody was hit over the head with a baseball bat. See, Roy's college-aged son unknown to Roy, had come in for the weekend and had camped out in his bed, not expecting Nate to climb in the window and step on him. That's a true story. If you don't believe it, ask Roy Cavender at WNKJ. I laugh till I cry. None of them expected that to happen. Roy didn't, Nate didn't, the son didn't. They were not in control of their circumstances, even though they had the best of plans laid out. Everything was in place, they thought. The end of the story was, of course, that the son got up, called Roy, just to make sure this guy was legit, let him in the door, he looked at it, fixed the roof, and everything was good. Okay? What could happen? It's so simple. What could happen? What could happen is the question, by the way, that usually immediately precedes the second question is, how did that happen? You just don't know. So, if that's the case, and if we're not in control of the circumstances, there's a lot more to tell. But I'm not going to get to it all. Let me just look quickly, and I'm even going to just summarize here. There are three things that every one of us think we should control in our lives and for our families. Provision. You like to provide as much as you can for your kids, right? Protection. You want to protect them from some things as much as you can. Keep them from having damaged lives as a result of it. And preparation. The punchline is this. Too much protection is a bad thing. Too much provision is a bad thing. Protection and provision for many of the things that we experience belong to God. Preparation, on the other hand, is always a good thing. It's what Daniel's parents did with him before the book of Daniel was ever written. They prepared him for what might happen. And therefore he was ready to go. When he was presented with the bad versus the good, he chose the good. Let me give you, just to follow up, a modern-day story of provision. Well, excuse me, of preparation. I'm going to have to flip over here to find it. Well, I'll just tell it to you in my own words. I remember it. You know, in Africa, as well as many other countries now, there's a lot of bloodshed, and it is specifically of Christians being killed. There was a group of villages in Nigeria which were attacked just a few months ago, and it was by Muslim extremists who had as their primary goal to wipe Christians out of that area. They don't want any more. They came to one village. And they were going systematically from house to house, killing the men and either taking the kids captive or warning the mothers they needed to recant their faith or they would come back later and kill them and take their kids. One family that was featured in one of the newsletters that we get was in that village. They had no way to protect themselves. The authorities were not going to do it. So they sat their kids down before the extremists got to their house and said, "Now listen, children, there are some evil men who are going through this village, and they're systematically killing people like us, Christians, because of our faith in Christ. And I want you to understand before they get here that if they break in to our home, they may hurt your mom and dad. And you may hear gunshots. You may see blood. You may hear cries of pain. But I want you to know ahead of time that that's only temporary. And that if we die, we will be with the Lord. And we want you to be prepared for that. And we want you to always follow the Lord in your lives." Well, as a matter of fact, the Muslims did break into their home. And they did give the parents the chance to either convert or die. And both husband and wife refused to do that. So they shot the man in the head and left him in a pool of blood, assuming he was dead. They gave the mom 1 week to repent, recant, whatever you want to call it, to leave Christian faith and go to Muslim faith, or they were going to come back and take the kids. Well, the story's a lot longer than that. By almost a miraculous series of events, the father did not die. And I believe God healed him. He got up and was able to take his family to another city where they hopefully will be protected from such things. They had prepared their children, though, for the eventuality of being left on their own. Now, the reason that applies to us is not because we think Muslims are going to break in this morning and shoot us all up and we'll all be dead, but it is inevitable, sooner or later, that we will be separated from those that we love. If nothing else, just the passage of time and the degeneration of the body will eventually take our body and put it in a grave, and we will be separated for a time. Only the people who are left when the Lord comes back are going to escape that death. Every one of us won't. We can't control that. We should not overprotect our children for fear that they would be unable to meet the circumstances when the time comes. We should not provide everything for them, because one of the two things that is most prevalent in the successful people in the United States is that they were not over-provided for. They actually had to go out and get a job, had to work, and had to learn how to make a living. The other thing is that they ate dinner together as families. Those are the two things that are marked in the successful people in this country. You prepare your families. You don't over-provide. You don't over-protect. You prepare them. The way it works out in real life and every day, let me finish with this, is found in Ephesians 5, 22 and the verses following. I'll paraphrase it here. Wives, respect and obey your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's good advice. And I'll leave you with that. Why don't we sing a song to close out? If I get my musicians back up front and center. What was the number that I said it was going to be? Who remembers? 552. Thank you. Let's stand together and sing number 552 on Jordan's Stormy Banks.